Amos chapter 8, I told you, we've been talking about different things last week. What is your why? And talked about Job a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Hosea last week. Today we're going to be in Amos, and I told you that it was coming. There's a famine in the land. So Amos chapter 8, verse 11, you should be able to see it on the screen. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God. Who's talking? Okay, so Amos is writing and speaking, but it's the Lord speaking through Amos, right? Amos the prophet. I will send, so who's going to send it? God. So Amos is saying God's going to send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. What a tragic day. When I read the prophet Amos here and I read what he's saying, it parallels very, very closely to America today. People running to and fro everywhere trying to hear the word of the Lord, but there's no word of the Lord in the land. It's a famine. And so he's prophesying during the final days of the northern kingdom of Israel, a great time of military power. It tells me it's a whole lot like America. Because although we may not be the military power we were, how many know we still have some might in our military? Thank God for our, come on, help me. It's Veterans Day just a week ago. Help me give God praise for our soldiers. We still have military power. And not only was it a military prosperity, it was also great economic prosperity, a time of peace and joy and happiness for most of the people. And so Amos comes to them with a message of condemnation. It's really not one fun to preach, but I hope to make it parallel for us today, and we are the church. How many know judgment needs to start in the house of the Lord? I mean, if we will do this, this is almost like what I call a preventive maintenance message. We need, in our culture today, we need a revival of the word of the Lord. Back in our pulpits, back in our pew, our people need to get back to the word. In fact, we need to get back to the altar. The altar is almost like, you know, it's not a piece of furniture. It's a place where you meet with God. Amen? Back to the Lord's house. And so his message to them is one of judgment and condemnation, and his message exposes the true spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. Wealthy and powerful, but they're spiritually destitute. Can I tell you, I don't care how much money you have or how strong you are or how healthy you are. If you are diseased in your spirit, you need the Lord. You need the Lord. And so they're enjoying peace and safety, prosperity, military strength. They're in the midst of a spiritual drought, and they do not even recognize it. It's one thing to recognize when you're in a drought. It's another thing to be in a drought and don't even know you're there. And maybe you've had some dry seasons in your walk with God. I know I have. How many be honest today and say, Pastor, I've had some dry seasons? Yeah, of course, we all have. It's not very lengthy, but we all, if we neglect the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the Church of God and the presence of God and prayer, how many know those things are critical for us to maintain spiritual fervor, fire. And that's why we have retreats and conventions that you go on and camps and women's retreat, men's retreat. We go to get inspired and revived and refueled, refreshed. And so before you go into this holiday, I just want to remind you that we need the word of the Lord. Amen? Amos preaches this message, and he takes the lid off of their hypocrisy. So they're still going through the religious activity. They're still paying their tithe, they're still doing church, they're still honoring the Sabbath, but their attitude is wrong. Can I tell you, as we go into Thanksgiving, we should have an attitude of gratitude. We should know why we exist, and we should feel blessed of all people. Does anybody today feel blessed? Anybody today? So he wants them to know that a destructive famine is about to fall on the land, and I see it. The conditions of Israel looks like our world, And we may not be as prosperous as we once were, but how many know we're still richer than 99% of the rest of the population of this world? 7 billion people in the world. If you were born in America, you ought to give God praise because you're still richer. Listen, 2/3 of the world are in poverty. And we live in our little old country, and we forget there are people around the world. But you know, I've been under the trees in Mexico where people didn't even have electricity. But how many know they had the Lord? And you would not know that they didn't have anything because they had the Lord. Amen? And so we're in the midst of a spiritual drought today, and we don't even know it. But I want to take a few minutes just to look at it and find in this passage the warnings for us. May the Lord keep the Word of God alive at Oak Grove. Amen? May the Holy Spirit keep us on the right track. Because in a world that's sliding away from the presence of the Lord, we too, if we're not careful, can neglect the things of the Lord. So first thing I see here in verse 11 is that the prophet kind of makes a declaration, a catastrophic declaration. There's a famine coming to you. And you would be better off if it was a famine of food and drink, but it's not. It's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. So famines, you know, that's a physical thing, you know, that people can find themselves without food, without things. It's happened untold millions of people have died in past in history from famines. In Israel and Egypt were no strangers to famine. But Abraham left because of famine to go to Canaan, to go into Egypt to search. He left Canaan to go into Egypt to search for food because of the famine. His son also, Isaac, did the same thing. Famine hit, and they had to go search for food. And my prayer is that when famine comes, the word of the Lord is that it is coming. He said that Amos is saying what God has said. I will send a famine. That is a catastrophic declaration. That is a prophetic word to the people of God, not only in Israel, but how many know it's for us today? There is a famine. And you could see some parallels today. But, when Jacob, remember when his family left to go into Egypt and found Joseph over there? It was a famine that drove them there. Can I just tell you, sometimes God can use a famine to get you back where you need to be. And that's what he did many times. And so they would have their creeks would dry up, and people would shrivel up, and walking skeletons, stomachs are swelling, faces are hollow. You know, it's a disease that runs rampant. Everybody's sanitation situation is bad. No food, no water, no life. Whenever food fails, life is not far behind it. Famines are a terrible time of death and deprivation and destruction, ultimately destruction. It affects the crops. It affects the life of the people. It affects the attitude of the people. How many know famine will get your attention? And so God is saying, behold, pay attention. Listen up. Hear what is being said. He wants them to know there will be no reprieve, no second chances. I'm telling you ahead of time, he says, a famine is coming and it will not be avoided. Now listen, I know you came to get encouragement, and we'll have an opportunity at the end for you to be encouraged. But this is the word of the Lord to the people of God. Hey, we're talking to the people of God. We're not talking to the lost. God has a word to his people. You don't want me? You don't want to hear my word? Is the Sabbath something that you drudge? You don't want to go to church? I'll give you what you ask. I'm going to send the famine, and there will be no word of the Lord. I don't know if that can sink into your spirit, but you got to imagine for a little bit, Oak Grove, not having a word from the Lord. Being disconnected, separated from the voice of the Spirit. Is anybody here glad we have the word of the Lord? We're talking about the word of the Lord right now. And so the prophecy, the prophetic word is that there is a time coming a terrible time coming. He goes into verse 11, starts to describe the character of this time. It's not going to be a lack of food or water. It's going to be a time where the hearing of the words of the Lord, the people will have food, they will have water, they will not, however, enjoy the blessing of hearing the Lord speak to them any longer. You can have everything. You have food, water, everything. But if you don't have the voice of the Lord, how many know we're in trouble? So two things are going on. I'm not sure. As I read as I see it, to be understood two ways. First of all, God could be saying to Israel, I'm no longer going to speak to you. I'm no longer going to speak to you. Now listen, I'm talking in Sunday school, and we're talking about communication and talking in the Spirit. How many glad to be Pentecostal, Spirit-filled believers, anybody? How many glad we have a communication line with God that cannot be broken or disturbed by the enemy, that we have communication with the Lord? And we also have prayer. Anybody glad we have prayer? Come on now, I need you to help me. Is anybody glad we have a God that hears us? And not only does he hear us, but he speaks to us. He said, I'm going to shut that off. Talking to Jake and Joanna over in Thailand, they were talking to the librarian, witnessing to the librarian in Thai, and she said, I never realized that when I go to these idols, these statues or whatever, and try to talk to them, I get no response. They don't talk, and they don't hear because I never get an answer. I mean, no, we serve a living God, a God that speaks. Hebrews is my favorite book of the Bible, and the first verse explains it all, right? God, who at sundry times and divers places spoke in times past through the prophets like this. Amos is speaking on behalf of God, and he's declaring a catastrophic event. And he's giving the character now. It's not going to be what you think. Dried up brooks and your cattle dying and your crops. Worse than that, you will not be able to hear my voice. So it's either God is saying, I will no longer speak. Or secondly, God could be saying, you will no longer be able to hear when I do speak. Either way, how many know we're in trouble? If we can't hear when God speaks, you know, I think about Revelation when Jesus says to the churches of Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And over in Hebrews it says, hey, hearken to the voice of the Lord. Even on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus said, hey, Peter said, man, let's build three tabernacles and hang out here. The Lord said from heaven, this is my beloved son who am I well, I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Friend, you don't have to listen to me today. And you can go out of here and never come back and hear me again. Wouldn't bother you. But if you don't hear from God, how many know you're going to be left in a mess? Gotta have it. Either way, it's catastrophic. And people are going to be unable to hear from God somehow or another. And Israel might not have thought this was too much of a curse when they heard it. After all, they cared little for the ways of the Lord anyway. If you look at verse 5 and 6 of chapter 8, look what he said. He said in verse 4, hear this, you who swallow up the needy. Can I tell you, God cares about the poor? Does anybody believe God cares about the poor? And you oppose the poor or oppress the poor, you're going to be in bad shape. And you make the poor of the land fail, saying, verse 5, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain? When will the Sabbath be over so we can go back to making money? I'll put it in your language here so you can get it. And the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large. I'm making the spiritual things of God small and money big. Self-centered, self-interest. Falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. Even sell the bad wheat. The Israelites are selling bad wheat to the poor and dissing the poor by weighing the scale, cheating them out of money. And God's not happy. And the verse 7, the Lord sworn by the people of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall the land not tremble for this, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? All of it shall swell like the river, heave and subside like the river of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the broad daylight. All of this is prophetic things that are going to go on in the future. But it is happening and a reality now. How many know prophecies are now in the context of now, and it's also in the future? And they did taste it, and they did feel it. But it tells us about their spiritual condition. They were involved in feast days, in the sacrifices, but they were bored with the things of God and couldn't wait until they'd be free to pursue their own love, which is money, and their own self-interest. Some people today are in church not because they want to be, because they have to be. Somebody made them, somebody brought them, somebody drug them into the house of the Lord. How many know you need an attitude adjustment? If you came in here begrudgingly, if you came in here just to fulfill a weekly obligation so somebody else could see that you showed up, you know, I'm glad you're here. It's not a bad place to be. But you can come to the right place with the wrong motive. And this is what was going on. They couldn't wait until the feast days so they could open their store and sell. They couldn't wait till the Sabbaths were over so they could exploit the poor, make themselves rich. And they endured with impatience the demands of God, waiting only to be free from the yoke of bondage so they could go and do as they please. That's why our culture doesn't have Sunday night church. That's why Wednesday night is not a priority and Sunday school doesn't even exist. That's why prayer meetings, hey, if you want to go to a prayer meeting, that's the only place you can be truly alone with God. Because nobody else is there. And that's why prayerlessness is an issue. They were going through the motions, and God's response is to give them what they want. He said, you know what? If you're sick of the law, I'm going to withhold the word of the Lord from you. If you don't like the word, you will realize. How many know that we never realize what we value until we lose it? We always value more what we lose after we lose it. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is still number one at Oak Grove Assembly of God. Come on now. We still want to lift up the Word of God. And so he said, you're fed up with the Word? He feeds them silence. They no longer desire to hear the truth, so he obliges them and takes it away. You don't want the truth? I'll take it away. And listen, when you take God out, how many know the world and Satan's ready to fill you with everything else? Can I tell you, Oak Grove, listen, you take God out of the school, you're going to put every wicked thing in God's place. And so we look at the school system today, wonder, how in the world did we get here? Well, we took God out. One lady, Madeline Murray O'Hara. Oh, y'all need to help me out here. How can one lady have that much influence to take it out and the whole church not have enough influence to put it back in? How can just 9 judges dictate what we're going to do in a whole nation? How many know the world is in a mess? And it depends on who you vote in. How many know it's critical which way our nation goes? And so, it's a terrifying thought. I love this, what George Whitefield said, great preacher of old. He said, as God can send a nation or people no greater blessing than to give them faithful, sincere, upright ministers. Somebody will preach the word. How many know a preacher of the word is a gift to the church? He also said the greatest curse that God can possibly send upon a people in this world is to give them over to the blind, unregenerate, carnal, lukewarm, unskilled guides. Preachers that are going around giving speeches, little feel-good messages, telling you you're okay and I'm okay and everybody's okay. How many know everything's not all right in the house of the Lord? And everybody comes in and tells you everything's okay. Everybody here today is not here for the same motive. I hope you are. But it's a personal decision. Amen? And so when a people refuse to hear the word of the Lord, he'll take it away from them. Jesus said it this way, for whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. Can I just say it, Oak Grove, what's on my heart? We should never allow the enemy to snatch the word of God from our church. We should keep it a priority to preach the word. And we should keep it a priority to make the word and what the word exalts and lifts up, we should lift up. Like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't think it's old fashioned. That's outdated. How many know he's still relevant for us today? Because he is more than a doctrine. He is the third person of the Godhead. And he speaks to, how many know God speaks to us through him? It's the Holy Spirit that illuminates and communicates the Lord's word to us today. He spoke in time past through the prophets, Hebrews 1:1. But in these last days, he's speaking through his Son and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so, this is it. Jesus says about the word of God on the Mount of Temptation. Satan challenges him, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by what?
bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. He's saying word from God is what we need. So the catastrophic declaration is that I'm sending a famine. And the character of that is it won't be food and drink. It's going to be a famine of being able to hear. If anybody is going to survive and thrive, they must be able to get a word from the Lord. Can I get an amen? I don't know if you know what it's like to be 3 a.m. trying to make a decision and you don't know which way to go and you're praying, you're seeking the Lord. How many know we better seek the Lord while he might be found? That's what Hosea said last week. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, break up the fallow ground and seek the Lord, right? Because he's coming back. Until he comes, though, we better be seasoned and listening to the voice of the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And so God will give them silence in judgment. It's a judgment greater than any other. And of course, there are times when people have truth but refuse to hear it. Paul warned Timothy, such days were coming to the church. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a lot of teaching going on in this world. And a lot of people believe a lot of foolish things. And you know what? What bothers me is not false teachers. We've always had false teachers. What bothers me is gullible Christians who are not biblically alert enough to know false from true. How many know it's your personal responsibility to know the word so when false teaching comes, you will abstain from that? Turn away from that counterfeit. How many know the devil's trying to lie and dupe and twist and distort the people of God? And so we better be alert. We need to be able to get a word from the Lord. He said, after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. So they're going to get the teacher. There are churches, listen, pulpit committees and churches that believe there's another way to grow a church other than preaching the word. We're gonna get right down to it. Are you ready to get into this? I might as well love me or hate me, but don't ignore me. I said, pucker up or duck, but here I come. We're living in a culture where people are actually inviting preachers who will come in to grow their church, successfully grow in numbers. But to do that, they have to compromise the message. You're not going to get a sinner to come here by preaching the truth. Preach the truth. How many know the sinner's no longer going to stay a sinner? Oh, y'all need to help me out here. At Old Grove, it gets uncomfortable. I said, it feels quiet in here. It's uncomfortable. Of course, nobody speaks in surgery under the knife. So you got to know the word of God is what brings conviction. But how many thinks the preacher should preach it anyway? Because this is thus saith the Lord. I wish I could tickle ears, but that's not the call on my life. God said, preach the word, right? But they're having some that are hiring for themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They would rather me tell you a little story, you know. Get Taylor back up here and play, and I'll tell you a little story, rock you to sleep. And you'll have feel-goods, all these little feel-goods. How many know we have a culture coming to church seeking everything but the Lord? If you come to Oak Grove, people call. One time a lady called. She said, what kind of amenities do you have at Oak Grove? I said, amenities? I don't even know what that is. But if it's what I think it is, do you think we're a resort? We're not a resort. How many know we're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if anything, we're going to exalt his name and preach his word. We've got a swimming pool, hot tub. I guess we could fill up the baptistry, turn the heater on for you. By the way, we're not baptizing anybody the last week of this next weekend because our baptistry is over there. So those of you who wanted to get baptized, you have to wait till the end of December. Is that okay? Don't backslide on me. Hold on. 4 more weeks, then I'll baptize you. And so we're living in those days right now. The word of the Lord is being preached, but people would rather listen to stories and speeches. And some men of God are entering the pulpits and they're preaching word of God, power and glory, and people turning a deaf ear to that kind of preaching. But when that happens, God allows them to go their own way. And God's allowing them to reject his word. He allows them to starve to death spiritually. If they reject the truth, there will be no more words from God, and they will shrivel up and die spiritually. So when there's a famine in the land, pulpits dry up. Churches close their doors. Congregations wither up and perish on the vine. They lose their joy. They lose their hope. They lose their blessing because they lost the ability to hear the word. Preaching becomes empty. Choirs can sing with all kinds of talent, but how many know I'd rather have an anointing than all the talent in the world? And preachers can preach eloquent sermons, just every word and everything just rightly done, homiletically correct, but no anointing. How many know it can't set men's hearts free? Preach the word under the anointing. Sing. Have you ever heard somebody who may not have all the talent but have the anointing and it just... And the Holy Spirit falls on the place. I remember old men called of God back in the day who had no education. But boy, when they preached the gospel, they had an anointing upon them. That means that the word is what changes lives. The Bible, if you don't have the word of the Lord, the Bible becomes just a dead book, and there's a famine in the land. People are left without direction and without hope and without peace and without joy. It's a time of absolute disaster. But verse 11 and 14 gives you the cause. God takes full responsibility of this famine. I will send a famine. It's not like the church is sending a famine. It's not the Assemblies of God sending a famine. The Lord said, I'm going to send a famine. I'm going to do this. It's worth noting. It's not natural causes. I will send the famine. It's the direct cause is the wrath of God. He's fed up with their disobedience. He's sickened by their failure to heed the voice of the prophets. So God's sending silence. Now, in my short life with God, I have had seasons of silence in heaven. How many ever felt like you couldn't hear from the Lord? And I'll tell you, that's a miserable place. That's when you start fasting and you start going a little deeper and say, Lord, I need to hear you. Anybody get so desperate you need to hear a word from the Lord? That's what it is. It should stir you to even be more and more concerned. The Lord is fed up with their disobedience. And he's sending judgment, silence. He stops speaking. And even if he does speak, they don't have the ability to hear. You see, spiritual things have to be discerned from the Holy Spirit, from your spirit. And if you have no spirit of God in you, you're going to have a hard time understanding the word of God. You know, I went to church as a young boy. I was even an altar boy. I did religious things. But I didn't know the Bible until I gave my heart to Jesus by faith. How many know the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of me? Then I could see what the Lord was saying. Then when I read the Bible, anybody read the Bible and the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to you? The word of the Lord is speaking through the word. He's speaking through the preacher. He's speaking through the word, through the teacher. The Holy Spirit's coming alive because you have him. But if you don't have him, you can't discern what the Lord is saying. And so we seem to have the idea that people are just walking around in the world and they're just waiting on God to speak. But when he does, they will respond. But listen, nothing could be further from the truth. The fact is, man cannot hear God until God gives him ears to hear. It's the Spirit of God that draws you. It's the Spirit of the Lord that quickens your ear to hear. Because you can hear the same thing over and over again. You can read the same thing over and over again. But when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on it, how many know it comes alive to you? He illuminates it. It becomes magnified and large. It's like, wow, I never saw that before. I never saw that before. So Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples, the reason he spoke in parables, he said this: the ability to hear from God is a gift from God. When we hear, when he opens our ears, not before. 1 Corinthians 2:14, listen to this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know because the Spirit has quickened it to you. God is the instigator of the famine that's coming. He sends it to the people because of their sin. They were wicked at heart. They were dishonest in business, guilty of exploiting the poor, guilty of idolatry, and God judges them for all the things and more. So the passage today stands as a warning to this generation. Say, Pastor, what does all that mean? Well, it's a declaration of catastrophe. And he gives a character to it. He tells us the cause of it. But what does that mean for us? We are blessed to have an abundance of good, biblical, sound teaching. Oak Grove, could you just stop and give the Lord praise? For this year, we declared the year of the word of the Lord. Come on, give him praise. This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's not just because of me. We got lots of teachers. We have lots of Bible studies. You can go any day of the week and find a Bible study at Oak Grove Assembly because we concentrate on the word. All right? And when the truth is heard and heeded, God will bless his people in great spiritual ways. When the truth is rejected, God will abandon them to go to their choice. So I want you to see this. This is why believers are spiritually weak. Churches are anemic. There's no power in the average church. Many church people are resembling like funeral homes. There ain't nobody. There's no life in there. Religious. A place where there's fire, but there's nothing more than the energy of the flesh. And we're building these places. It's not word based. It's enthusiasm based. It's flesh based, and excitement's produced by some music and music that caters to the flesh. I'm not saying we have to sing hymns. What I'm saying, didn't Chrissy do a good balance today of a hymn and a beautiful modern day chorus we were singing to the Lord? I never knew the difference. I'm talking about music that exalts the Lord. Not just singing, not playing loud music, not a flash in the pan, but when people refuse to hear the word of the Lord will remove from them his voice. And God will stop speaking, or he'll take their ability away from hearing. But this is the deal. There are run to the church. They're running. People are running everywhere. Watch this, because it's found in verse 12, they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. When you're missing the word of the Lord, you're going to have to try to fill that void with something. And so they're running everywhere, and many are trying to have preachers that are culturally relevant. I know a lot of my friends, that think what we do here is old-fashioned and outdated. And I just tell them, thank you for the compliment. Thank you for the compliment. Sermons that do not challenge you spiritually, sermons that do not come out of the Word of God. Listen, good old-fashioned expository preaching is a lost art in our churches. Just get into the Word. Study the Word. Show yourself workmen, workwomen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So they run to churches where they no longer have to listen to the old songs, they think. Anything traditional, they don't like anything. Communion is not even any more good because it's tradition. Why, you still do communion? Of course the Lord commanded us to do communion. As often as you do this, until I come. Has the Lord come yet? No. So we do communion. The Lord commanded us to be baptized in water, so we still baptize. Not this month. Hang in there. 4 more weeks, I'll baptize you. But they run to these places where they can go with the beat and the light and the show, and they go to the place where they can come as they are and leave as they came. I saw in the newspaper, Springfield News Leader, they had a new church opened in town. And a lady was being interviewed. She said, yes, I go to that church, and I don't have to change the way I live before I came. Come to Oak Grove, guess what? First thing you got to do is give your heart to Jesus. And here's what we say. If you give your heart to Jesus, genuinely, not say a prayer and go live like you want. Give your heart to Jesus genuinely. How many know the Holy Spirit will change you? A transformation's coming because you're in a different environment. You change the environment, some things, good things are going to happen. And so we want to create an environment where people can grow in the Lord. Amen? Come to the place where they can come and find the Word of God and change. But a place where everything is about them, their needs and their feelings. And they run to themselves to death, running away from the very thing that God is trying to give them, the Word of the Lord. They're running for everything else. When it's just nothing but the good old-fashioned Word of the Lord. It's not a fancy, but we're living in that time right now where kind of churches like ours are dying out. Churches that exalt expository preaching are seen as dinosaurs, out of step with the time, out of touch with the people and their needs. And they want to be entertained, and they don't want to be preached to. And so they want to feel good. And they do not want to be challenged about their spiritual life. And they don't want to be bothered by all that Bible stuff. I mean, if you get rid of the Bible, you don't have no reason to come. Hey, listen, if you lose the Bible in this house, there's no job for me because I don't have anything else to do. God's called me to preach the Word. Right? And how well would you be without it? It's like having a house filled with sick patients and no medication. There's no medication. No word from the Lord is like, without a vision, people perish. And Hosea said last week, without the word of God, we're all dying. So God obliges them, sends them exactly what they want. And he sends them a famine of hearing the word. He closes his mouth and stops their ears. And they receive nothing from the Lord. It's a horrible place. But that's where we are. It's catastrophic, but it's true. There is a famine in the land. That's the bad news. But I came to give you some good news. How many know we do have the word of the Lord here? I said, not only do we have the word of the Lord being expressed, the written word, we also have the living word where two or three are gathered in his name. How many know Jesus is here? And the Holy Spirit, he is here. And he is the one that draws you and woos you and helps you, right? And so we're in desperate times, but God's going to give us the victory. I want us to take communion together, but let me just tell you, I found a couple of stories here that just alarm me. This is happening in our day. A North Carolina pastor, honorary chaplain for the state House of Representatives, was fired when he refused to remove the words "in Jesus' name" from the invocation he had been invited to give. There's a famine in the land. An appeals court recently upheld a ruling that said it was unconstitutional for a preacher to pray at a county council meeting and close his prayer with the words "in Jesus' name." There's a famine in the land. The average church member doesn't know the books of the Bible. The average church member doesn't know the Ten Commandments or how to share their faith with an unbeliever. They know how to argue against everything said from the pulpit. There's a famine in the land. God, give us ears to hear as he speaks. The good news is our God's not dead. He's very much alive. And the Holy Spirit's very much alive. And the reason we need him is so he can illuminate what has been said. Get a preacher to preach or read your Bible and God can speak to you. We need God to give us ears. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We're going to take communion, and after we take communion, we're going to pray together. And what I hope is that today the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and that you've heard the word of the Lord. There's not a day where I don't need to hear from the Lord. There's not a day I don't want to hear from the Lord. And in corporate world today, our leaders are making decisions is not their problem. They make decisions every day, hundreds of decisions. They make them every day. The problem is hearing from the Lord. Because you can make a decision, may not be the right one. We may not be the right one. I mean, we need direction from the Lord. In everything. In all of your life. And some of you today, maybe you're contemplating some big things. Maybe you made some mistakes. Maybe you need to get some things right. I don't know where you are in the scheme of things. But this is what I do know. Good news. God wants to talk to you.